Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Whoever wants to be his disciple has to take up their cross and follow him. After this reading, I want to say, the gospel of the Lord? Because how is taking up your cross good news? Suffering sucks. We don't want to do it. But yet we all do. We spend an inordinate amount of time denying suffering. We tend to block it out, filling our minds with other things. We don't look at it directly, pretending that it's not there, or we minimize it. We're in the middle of a period of suffering. We don't talk about it. We don't let other people in, or we just say, oh, it's not that bad. It's okay. Or even worse, we downplay the suffering of others. But we do that all for our own comfort. But suffering is all around us. And as a society, we've done everything that we can not to encounter suffering. And nowhere is this more apparent than how we manage our homeless population. As a youth minister, I was in L.A. And I was with a bunch of students from a very affluent community. And we wanted to contrast the city. And so we drove them all to Rodeo Drive. Y'all ever been to Rodeo Drive? Anybody here? Nobody's, okay, how you been there, right? I'm not saying you shopped there. I'm saying you went there. Well, Rodeo Drive is beautiful. There's marble and granite. The color scheme is white. Everything is clean. There's no dots of gum on the floor and the sidewalk. It is pristine. And then we decided to go to the opposite end of the spectrum. We took the kids to Skid Row, and the color palettes changed completely. The buildings were brown and gray and dirty. We went from clean streets to absolutely filthy ones. We could smell the feces and the urine baked into the concrete. And there's something interesting that we learned, and it had to do with how far Skid Row could spread out. We spent time with a man who told us that the homeless couldn't set up tents one block in either direction. And if they did that, then the police would hassle them and bring them back to Skid Row. And during that trip, I learned something else really interesting. That after 1 year, it was likely that the homeless person would have their whole social network be comprised of homeless people. After 1 year. Meaning that they would be totally socialized to homelessness in 12 months. And a really insightful student, she asked him, what would make a family stop talking to their homeless relative? Or have their whole support network abandon them? And the man said, most people can't stomach watching their loved ones suffer, and so they just stop talking to them. Though our reaction to suffering is to avoid it, I think it's helpful if we identify that not all suffering is the same. There's different kinds. And so I want to talk about at least three kinds of suffering that we go through. The first is consequential suffering. Suffering that comes based on the decisions that we make. There are many times when we can avoid self-inflicted pain, but we choose to make a poor decision, and that decision has consequences. I did this the other day while wrestling. I was rolling around with this guy who was a lesser belt than me. Not as good. But he got me. Had me in an arm bar. And in my pride, I decided not to end the match. See, we can do that by going tap or by tapping. And he hyperextended my elbow. My arm still hurts. I'm experiencing consequential suffering. It's not his fault that my arm got hurt. It's my fault. I could have stopped it, and I chose not to. Consequential suffering. But it's not just in the physical realm that we experience that. We experience it in the emotional realm too. When I'm lonely, and I'm looking to connect with others, and I need other people in my lives, but I don't reach out to them. I don't ask for help or for community. I receive the result of my inaction. In the spiritual realm, when I sin and I suffer from being found out of my sin, that's consequential suffering. Sometimes we suffer physically and emotionally and spiritually, and we do it to ourselves. Now, on a side note, we tend to reconcile the pain that we go through and the suffering that we go through in ourselves and in others by calling it consequential suffering. Because it makes sense. We want to make sense of the pain that we have. Because it's easier to deal with if it has a reason. But sometimes we do all of the right things and we still suffer. That's innocent suffering. We eat right, and we exercise right, and we do everything right, and a heart attack still comes. We're safe drivers and we wear our seatbelt. We always drive with our hands on 10 and 2 and somebody misses a light and hits us and we have pain for the rest of our lives because of it. The economy crashes. Somebody falls behind on their mortgage. They end up in a shelter. They can't seem to work their way out of the debt that they have. It's innocent suffering. Or we really, really want something. We work hard for it. We do everything we can to make it happen. But it doesn't. And it's not going to. Innocent suffering. Natural disasters bring innocent suffering. Racial prejudice brings innocent suffering. Abuse of power brings innocent suffering. This is the suffering that Job went through in the Bible. The Bible says Job was a righteous man. And yet he lost his family, he lost his house, he lost his income, so much so that Joseph ends up in ashes with a sackcloth over him. It's innocent suffering. He did everything right. Still got the short end of the stick. And that's the hardest kind of suffering to deal with, because it's not a result of our own actions. It has no purpose. But there's another kind of suffering. It's the kind of suffering that Jesus went through, and it's the kind of suffering that Jesus calls us to. And it's righteous suffering. This is when we pick up our instruments of death, pick up our cross to follow Jesus. See, righteous suffering, it has a greater goal. It's when we not only don't sin, but we do everything that was right. We stand up for Jesus. We stand up for the integrity that he has for us. And we suffer because of it. It's the reason that Cain murdered Abel. Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's were righteous. See, Abel's crime was his integrity, which made Cain look bad, and Cain couldn't stand it. See, righteous suffering is experienced when we do all of the right things, but because the world has this agenda of sin and brokenness and turning away from God, we experience pain. See, when we pick up our cross, when we lift on our shoulders the cross beam of Jesus' way on earth, we will suffer because it goes against the way the world operates. Scripture actually promises that we will suffer. It's a hard message. And Peter, in our story today, he doesn't have this understanding yet. He thinks that Jesus is all about joy and all of the good things, the Pollyanna Christian things. And so he tries to tell Jesus, "No, Lord." Peter is telling Jesus no, because he can't deal with the suffering. But Jesus tells them that his immediate future is going to be one of passion, that he's going to be tortured, that he's going to be killed, and that he's going to die. But his righteous suffering will have a purpose. In it, Jesus redeems humanity, and Jesus shows the world that we are all corrupt. The very powers and the principalities are shown to be bankrupt when he dies. And Jesus will endure suffering. It will subdue him. It will kill him. But hear this. Suffering does not have the last word. Jesus knows that he has to bear the cross, and he's not letting anybody distract him from that mission. But that's the kind of sacrificial love that he has. And it's the kind of love that he calls us into. It's the kind of love that goes into homeless camps, endures and has compassion, co-suffering with people who are homeless. It's the kind of love that suffers with people from debilitating illness. So Jesus, he rebukes Peter, and he uses it as a teaching opportunity. See, to be a Christian means that we follow our Lord to places that others don't go. And it means that we take up our own crosses. And here's the thing, I can't tell you what your cross is. I can't tell you your specific place in the kingdom of God. You have to discover that for yourself. But what I do know is that the cross is heavy. The cross is uncomfortable. And you'll suffer when you carry it. So friends, during this Lenten season, we remember that the life of the disciple is modeled after the life of our Lord. He has walked the path before us. He's with us. And we look forward to the day when he will come again and end all suffering. Amen.